So I want to now go to the first case, and basically it's an elderly patient, 84 years old, bunch of comorbidities, presents short of breath, got a big pleural effusion, mediastinal shift, and on cytology has an adenocarcinoma compatible with lung cancer, past history of smoking as well. Lots of problems with the pleural effusion. And actually, the patient, in spite of his age, was given carbo-PEM and PEM and did pretty well. And he actually stayed on therapy for more than a year, including maintenance pembrolizumab, at which point his pleural effusions became hemorrhagic and unable to be managed, and he ended up going to hospice. But the question that Dr. Picton, Maria Picton is a general medical oncologist in North Carolina, the question that she had, and I thought about you, John, when she brought up this question is, you know, she's saying, you know, she has a lot of positive experiences with bevacizumab in patients with effusions. And that was this man's main, you know, symptomatic problem. But she kind of didn't know, like, can you bring bevacizumab in up front along with chemo IO? So here's Dr. Picton.
One of the thoughts that I had with this patient is I wanted to give bevacizumab because when patients have pleural effusions, pericardial effusions, a VEGF inhibitor usually tends to cause reabsorption of the fluid. They respond better. So I had this question in my mind. Should I give carboplatin, pemetrexed, pembrolizumab, and bevacizumab? At that time, we did not have the regimen with atezolizumab and bevacizumab. For this patient, my thought was to add bevacizumab to his regimen. But since he had a high PD-L1 status, I also wanted to give the immunotherapy. So could I have given carboplatin, pemetrexed, pembrolizumab, and bevacizumab? Is that a regimen that would be valid on this patient?
So John, any comments about that and also the issue of the bevacizumab advantages in patients with effusions?
Yeah, it's a really interesting idea. So just to remind everybody, you know, bevacizumab blocks VEGF, and VEGF is known as an angiogenic factor, but it was actually initially identified as VPF, that stands for vascular permeability factor, and then later they realized those two things were the same molecule. So one of the things VEGF does is it controls the permeability of blood vessels. That's why people have seen improvement, for example, in ascites after giving bevacizumab, where you seem to be getting less leak out. We actually did a study with a different VEGF inhibitor looking to see whether it could slow pleural effusions from accumulating just from the VEGF effects here. So I think it's a really interesting idea. Now, the only regimen that we have approved for using both immunotherapy and bevacizumab in the first-line setting is the EMPOWER 150 regimen. And so that, just a review, is carboplatin, paclitaxel, atezolizumab, and bevacizumab. That's a regimen I use a fair bit. Now, if I had my preference, I like carboplatin and pemetrexed as a chemo backbone better than carboplatin and paclitaxel. But I do think in some patients, having the bevacizumab on really can add benefit. So that's a chemo regimen I use for EGFR mutants, for example, because the pembrolizumab regimen is not approved for patients with EGFR mutations. So in somebody with a pleural effusion, where I think that is a persistent problem, I will think about the EMPOWER 150 regimen instead of just a carboplatin, pemetrexed, and pembrolizumab, just as the questioner was asking.
So, Leora, any comments about this question?
One thing that I have seen is for patients with high PD-L1 score and who have pleural effusions or pericardial effusions, when I've given them single-agent pembrolizumab, several of them have ended up back in the hospital with a quick reaccumulation of their effusion, and then later on went to do really well. So those patients, I actually will add, regardless of their PD-L1 score, chemotherapy up front, but then I'm more likely to drop the chemotherapy and maintain them on single-agent pembrolizumab. I think it's also interesting that this patient had chronic kidney disease and they were given pemetrexed. I'm curious how poor their renal function is because, you know, there's so much hesitation to use pemetrexed because of renal function, but I still use it quite a lot and just dose reduce the pemetrexed in those patients to 400 instead of 500 and use this regimen.
That's interesting. What kind of GFR would get you to not use pemetrexed, Leora?
Probably less than 30.
Interesting.